Welcome to Harvest Beyond Sunday, a podcast that seeks to equip and inform the members of Harvest Church. My name's Jamie. I have the privilege of serving as a pastor and elder here at Harvest Church, and joined today by someone who's very familiar to all of us, Kevin Furness. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Jamie.
So I wanted to talk a little bit. We've had staff rotate in along the way on this podcast of Beyond Sunday to give insights into why we do what we do, philosophy behind it, and then even now, especially during this season where we're still navigating COVID, I think some good updates, kind of where we're at, where we hope to go as it relates to children's ministry at Harvard. And I do say hope to go. I just want to make sure we keep hedging that we do have hopes of things, but we know that this is a time of great flexibility. So things can change, but there is a track that we hope to be running on as well. But Kev, maybe first, let's just start with you, your wife, your family. For those that maybe don't know you as well, just a little bit of your background before we get to the specifics of children's ministry here at Harvest.
Sure. Yeah. I'm married to Caitlin, and we've got two boys. Benjamin is about to turn 5, and Jacob is about to, or is 2.5. We've been married for 10 years this January. So we've been at Harvest since the start. And so we were part of the core team when it planted, and I started out sort of interning in family ministry and then transitioned over to doing really all kids, youth, everything under Braxton. And then over the years transitioned to just kids, and now mainly focus on elementary.
And little known fact for most of our people, but you grew up in Memphis.
Yeah.
And you are the only staff member that's had a building fall on them.
That is true. I did have a building actually fall on me. Was that February of 2008, I guess. I was up at Union University in college, and an F4 tornado came through, hit the building, collapsed. Myself and about, I think, 7 other guys were buried 25 feet deep under about 2 tons of rubble. The Lord was gracious to save us that night, though.
Amen.
We didn't know that He would, but He was really gracious, and so it's been good to see what the Lord's done over the last 12 years since that time.
Yeah, and I mean, many of us remember this part of the country, those tornadoes coming through, and so it's surreal to have a personal connection to, you know, what could have been for you. I know it was very devastating. I don't mean to make light of it, but it could have been very serious for you.
Yeah, for sure. I remember when the police, everyone showed up on campus. They brought literally like hundreds of body bags, and ended up not needing any of them. Lord was gracious to save every student on the campus that night. So yeah.
Amen. Okay. Kids ministry, maybe start 30,000 foot view. A lot of our parents are familiar with this, but some may not be. Kind of our stated goal, mission, philosophy as it relates to kids ministry at Harvest. How would you phrase that?
Yeah, I would say that our main goal from kids ministry, from infant up through 5th grade, and really you could say all the way up through 12th grade, is to partner with and equip parents to be the primary disciple makers of their kids in the home. I read something recently that said that the average kid spends about 50 hours a year at church. And so that's Sundays, Wednesdays, maybe a little bit, 50 hours a year at church. So you do that over kindergarten through 12th grade, and we're talking about probably 650 hours for their sort of 13-year elementary, high school, middle, and high school. So 650 hours, where during that same time frame, a kid's going to spend, honestly, sounds crazy, about 20,000 hours with their parents.
Wow.
And so that's including school, taking that out. So really just factoring in a couple hours during the week and then more hours on the weekend. And so if you put 650 hours up against 20,000 hours, we at Harvest, really any church, can't really compare to that. And so our goal at Harvest is to use those 50 hours a year to teach kids the Bible, teach them what it means to follow Christ, teach them manhood, womanhood, teach them the Bible chronologically, which we can get into here in a little bit. But our main goal is to equip and partner with parents so that those 20,000 hours they have with you can be used to glorify God, to point them to God, and use that in your home to lead them.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that. That's the first time I've ever heard that statistic, and that's startling. It's sobering as a parent. Challenging, may feel a little bit overwhelming. But at the same time, it does. That statistic alone actually helps to reinforce our philosophy of wanting to partner with parents. The assumption is that we are partnering with something that's already happening at home. And I have lunch with several guys, and you know, several of our families. here at the church, and I know most families would say, you know, we're not quite where we want to be devotionally at home. And so this isn't meant to shame or discourage, but it is meant to highlight the opportunity that's there.
Yeah, I think for sure, like I said, it's not meant to shame. I think even when he says devotion at home, like I would encourage families just to find a time, really set a goal of one night a week, and then work to that of just doing something simple. Read the Bible, pray. If you like to sing, sing. I mean, we're talking 5 minutes, 10 minutes, something super simple, and do that with your kids as you go. Braxton Brady, who when he was here, used to talk a lot about Deuteronomy 6. And that Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 talks a lot about teach your children diligently when you walk by the way, when you sit, when you rise up. Well, we at Harvest aren't there when they sit in their house, when they rise up, when they go to bed. That's you. That's me as a parent with my kid. And so those times are precious. Those times we want to use to point them to Christ. And so, yeah, we don't want any shame in that, but we also want you to feel the weight of what it means to be the primary disciple maker in your home.
Yeah. And I think too, what you mentioned is really good. Starting one night a week, start small and build on it. Because if we all try to launch in and go from not doing very much to having our kids recite the Westminster Confession, sure. Boy, they're not even going to be ready for that.
For sure.
And then we're going to get discouraged and probably throw it all baby out with bathwater. That's a bad idiom to use when we're talking about kids ministry, but it is overwhelming. They sure. Don't always pay attention, but just like you said, even some nights in our rhythm, which look, we miss nights. We don't want to,
so do we
don't try to, but there are nights we miss, but we rotate it or, you know, read something, talk about it. Somebody, one of the kids prays, one of them sings a song, and we'll let Kyle, our 2-year-old, pick a song. And she picks Bye Bye Black Sheep. And you know what we do? We sing it.
Sure.
Because in our mind, the point is, let's sing as a family.
For sure.
Let's try to make that normal. And in some way, Jesus is probably glorified by a 2-year-old singing about sheep. Maybe he's not. We'll learn later. But something like that. And one thing I've been really thankful for Shanna doing, just particularly in this area, is like when the kids eat a dessert and it's sweet, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Making little connections. Yep. It doesn't always have to be a 30-minute
for sure
worship session.
Yep.
But little things that over time, it's going to stick with them.
For sure. Yeah. Those, like when you use that analogy of 20,000 hours, obviously we don't expect you to spend 20,000 hours teaching your kid. They get home at 5 p.m. from school and you better be teaching the Bible from 5 to 7. Now, like Jamie said, use different avenues. Driving home from school when you're asking them questions, whatever they say, listen and then use that to point them to the gospel. Use that when you're eating a dessert, when you're outside and you're looking at creation and you're pointing them to Christ during all the time that you're with them. I think is something even simple to start in that way.
Yeah, so you mentioned teaching and again, we want to partner with parents. Parents remain disciple makers in the home. And look, just a little aside, and I don't say this saying I'm always an example to follow, but I do think the best thing I can do for my children is affectionately and openly love Shanna. And the best thing she can do for our kids is to, you know, respectfully and lovingly respond to me. And we model that. I heard somebody say one time, I'd never thought about this, and they're absolutely right. None of us remember everything that happened in our home. Every single one of us remembers what home felt like. And when I want, hopefully in God's kindness and grace, and Shannon, I do the work, it'll happen, that when my kids think about what at home feel like, that there's a gospel connection there. It was gracious and repentant. It was honest and truthful, but loving. There's some real gospel-centric ideas that over the course of living in my house for 18 years, I hope that they look back on it and say, yeah, my house felt, obviously there were rules, obviously there was truth, but there was grace, there was repentance, there was honesty, love. And so our kids may not remember everything that they do. They won't, certainly, but they will remember what it felt like to be a part of that.
For sure. One of the things Caitlin and I talk, we've talked a lot about is one thing that we would love for our boys when they leave our home would be to look back and think they never remember a time when we didn't read the word together. They don't remember a time when we didn't pray together, when we didn't seek forgiveness from one another. So we want them to be able to look back and see that though my boys are 4 and 2, and there's probably not much I could do to screw them up at this point. I've probably tried over the last 4 years, but there's not much I feel like I can do to really probably screw up their life going forward. But I also would love for him to look back and never think of a time where those weren't true in our home, like Jamie said.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to mess them up going forward.
I got plenty of time to do that.
Yeah, I feel like that'll happen for both of us.
It probably has. Or just hopefully he'll forget it by the time right. He leaves the home.
That's right. All right. So harvest specific, you mentioned the 650 hours. Even though we realize the proportion is disproportional, it doesn't mean that we're not still strategic
for sure.
And intentional.
Yeah.
So what does that look like with the actual time we do have?
Yeah, that time they're here is super important. So we want to use that time to point them to Christ. So I think as I looked back at my childhood, when I grew up in church, I think I remember a lot of random kids' stories, which probably might be true of a lot of us. Those are listening. You remember Adam and Eve, of course, and then you jump to Noah, which actually is really funny that that's one of the famous kids' stories because it's our first like genocide ever in the ever
story about death.
About death. And so kids love that.
And mercy, yeah.
And so we remember that. We remember David and Goliath. And then usually we skip most through there. We don't really want to touch Kings and all that type of stuff. And so we'll jump to Malachi maybe and say, okay, now we make it in the New Testament. We'll touch a couple stories there. And then next thing you know, we're going to hit those stories again because there's nothing better than a David and Goliath craft and a Jonah felt bored. And so that's what I remember growing up. And so not that that's inherently bad, but when I was looking years ago for what our curriculum might look like at Harvest, came across something called the Gospel Project for Kids that Lifeway produces. And the Gospel Project for Kids is essentially a 3-year curriculum that walks chronologically through the Bible. And so it's teaching us that the Bible is not just random stories, that it's one story, that from cover to cover, it's all about Jesus, that Jesus is a thread woven through the pages of Scripture. So rather than just pick and choose random stories, though that's fine, though we might do that at night at times with our boys or really other random times at church if we need a random story. But our goal, even on Sunday mornings in our kids' classes, is to walk chronologically through the Bible. And so this particular curriculum has something called a Christ connection. And so we're trying to teach our kids at Harvest that Christ is seen in every story, that we don't just overlook him when we're reading about David and Goliath, that we don't overlook him when we're reading Daniel, that we can see Christ in every story. So that's our goal in what we teach on Sundays. And so we've just made it through. I think we're not meeting, I haven't met for the last 6 months, that's still posted online. You can still access that. We still show the short kids video before church on Sundays. But we're about halfway through the New Testament. And so by the time we hit next fall, we'll restart over in the Old Testament again.
Hey, elaborate maybe a little bit more. You mentioned it's posted online. The curriculum hasn't stopped.
Yeah,
it's
correct.
Still progressing. Yeah. So how do parents, they want to access it? How do they access it? How do they kind of utilize it most efficiently?
For sure. So online, if you go to harvestmemphis.org/kids, then over on the left-hand side, you'll see a link for Gospel Project for Kids curriculum. I think that's what it says. Mm. And when you click that, you'll see a video that Lifeway produces. It's what we would normally use in the class. Lifeway's given churches permission to use that with current situations. And so it's about a 3 to 4 minute video that tells the story. And then on that same page, you'll see some activity pages that's for kindergarten through third, I think is one, and a fourth and fifth grade. That's a coloring sheet, activity page. It's got some discussion questions listed in it. And then there's also a link for specific discussion questions. So your kids can watch the story and then you can follow up with them with those discussion questions. And then there's also one more page on there that I think is titled a parent letter or letter to parents, that it is essentially Lifeway produced it. I didn't write it. I wish I could say I did, but it is in a way summarizes the story for that week. It gives some talking points. It points ahead to what the next story is going to be. So the hope in what we do pre-COVID, hopefully post-COVID, what we do in our classes is to teach them that. And then we'd love for you to reinforce that in the home. But now with our current season, they can watch that at home. You can reinforce it. There's even an app you can download. If you search Lifeway Kids on your app store on your phone, you can access the same thing. There's games they can play on it. So there's ways that Lifeway does a great job to create content for us as parents to be able to utilize that. And so my boys love watching that on Sundays. And we try to ask the questions questions to follow up with it, to hopefully, again, give them a full picture of Christ in the Bible.
Well, and I had never seen this Gospel Project kids curriculum. Even though I was lead pastoring in Austin, we didn't have this as a resource there. And I, more than any other church I've personally been a part of, I think we've got the best thing going as far as our philosophy, our process, and the way. That's why I used to love when, and even though we'll talk about this in a second, I think that our family rhythm will actually change a little bit because of COVID in a good way.
Sure.
But man, my boys would come to, they do both hours of class, our oldest two, every Sunday, and they knew the story. That's they knew the material. They knew God's word, where it was in the Bible. And I was always impressed with their ability to think through Scripture. And we've done some of those, you know, kids' Bibles, your storybook Bible, some other Bible I got when Lifeway was going out of business for like 25 cents. Yeah. And I actually wound up liking it. It's been pretty good. And they can think through the stories, right? Who comes first and the order of it. And that's that. And they're starting to link it all together.
For sure.
And so I'm just very thankful with the way we do it. I think you and your team are doing a great job. Two more things I want to talk about before we get out of here. The first is, I did just mention team. You've got a couple people helping in, especially the elementary area. Do you want to briefly, just by way of, I guess, podcast introduction, which may be the most inefficient way to introduce somebody, but just mention kind of the people that are on the team and the roles they play.
Yeah, sure. So I'll start, though I don't directly oversee preschool at this point. McKenna Cope is who's mainly overseeing our preschool. She sort of is in the assistant preschool role. We're in the process of looking for director for that. But McKenna at this point is who's overseeing that. And so she implements this same curriculum that I'm talking about. I'm mainly talking from a elementary standpoint, but we do the same thing. And I believe our threes, fours, and fives, sort of the younger ones, use something else. But so McKenna oversees that and the volunteer side and implementing that, and does a great job with that. And then the elementary team in particular, Kristen Bowman does some admin stuff for us and gets busy bags prepared for Sundays and registrations.
Which, by the way, those are a revelation. I don't know who came up with that idea, but those have been incredible.
Again, I wish I could say I did, but I stole it from, I've seen other churches do it, but I saw a buddy of mine that works for Lifeway did it. And so I messaged him and asked what all they put in it and tried to put it down to a cheaper level for us to be able to produce them. So,
well, every Sunday I walk out with a new Wiki Sticks or whatever Auburn logo that my kids put together.
That's perfect. Wes Seligman, our staff, also, he sent me a picture that I think Ava's collecting the stickers, and so she's got stacks of those, and then Luke's collecting the Wiki Sticks. So he said he's got balls of Wiki Sticks in his house.
That's hilarious.
So Kristen helps with those, a couple other things. And then our newest addition to the kids team is Sam Killian. She's been working part-time really for the past probably 4 to 6 months throughout COVID. She used to be our one of our third grade Sunday school teachers. She's worked multiple summers as a counselor and a director at Camp of the Rising Sun in Mississippi. And so she comes with really a lot of experience with kids and loves kids. And so she'll be working directly with me doing elementary stuff. And so the goal pre-COVID in hiring her was to focus a lot of time on girls ministry and build, really mainly focus a lot on fourth, fifth grade girls. The age that I think is not just girls, but fourth and fifth graders as a whole are in really a crucial time of where they're really making decisions on what friends they're making. Like right now, I get to choose my kids' friends.
Right.
When they're in fourth and fifth, they sort of get to choose their friends. And so really hoping Sam is going to spend a lot of time really once we sort of move past the season and can get into schools more and set up Bible studies more. Sam will hopefully spend a lot of time doing that, but she has now turned into the creative side of elementary, and I'm now the boring side. So it's been a good addition.
Aren't you always the boring
side? At least I've come to grips with that. She can graphic design, she'll come up with games. And so I'll just do the boring teaching and let her do the fun side of stuff. So she's a great addition. Really excited to have her on our team going forward.
Yeah, we're glad to have everyone you just mentioned on staff, whether it be part-time or full-time. The good parts of our team. You know, we've done an entire podcast so far on elementary kids ministry and not even asked for volunteers. And so I'm not going to do it, except that was my passive aggressive way of doing it.
That's good.
We always need them.
That's true.
I will say that, and my kids are, you know, my oldest is 6'4", 10 months. But I've, here's what was really fun for me is we just moved here. This is what, over 3 years ago. We just moved here. New church, new setting, kids are little, hesitant, and just to name a name, Sherry Perry.
Yep.
Changed the way that my oldest, James, his whole mindset in going to church because of his class with her. And so that then what it automatically makes it easier on Shannon and me. We're more excited. He's excited. And so there's a lot of power and potential, even at this young age, even in elementary age, that to shape a kid's, just even their perspective on church and wanting to go to church and the life that they find in church. And so it's not, I get it, the 0 to 2. I understand that that's an anointing from the Holy Spirit that not a lot of us have. And we just got to grind that out. I get it. But when they get a little bit older, even 3 years old, 4 years old, then you get starting into kindergarten, first grade, they're now remembering and relationally connecting.
Correct, yeah.
And that's a big deal. Yeah. You can shape a child's whole perspective on the life of a church.
For sure, yeah. I even, you mentioned your boys, I think of mine have been with the Boyajans, Mary and Mark. They've been in their class for a couple of years, and Benjamin still talks about them, still wants to send them letters in the mail, and still, so though it appears to some that children's ministry, I think it's a wrap of the word childcare. One thing we're even just trying to shift in the days ahead is to remove that word and think of it as like, it's kids' ministry. So even like Jamie said, down to 2-year-olds and below, a little bit tougher. Maybe if you love babies, you love crying 12-month-olds.
That's right.
Then we need you. But other than that, man, once you hit—
If you love the crying, we're probably going to send you to counseling.
That's true too.
You love the crying part.
But if you want to get involved in a kid's life, there's nothing better than to jump into serving. So obviously don't want to make a ploy, like Jamie said, to guilt you into doing it. But it's a powerful ministry that you can be a part of.
Absolutely. Last thing, shifting gears a little bit. Looking forward, we're still in a unique season. We're trying to slowly get things back up and going. Maybe there's a little more normal sense of rhythm for what things have been in the past, which, again, it's going to take volunteers. It's going to take all of us hands on deck. So talk a little bit about what we hope to see happen, and then I want to finish by just even my own testimonial, and then you chime in too, Kevin, of going, you know, we've utilized childcare and have loved it. It's been great. But now we're worshiping, Shanna and me and 4 kids, 6 and under, in church every Sunday. And I want to talk a little bit about, I think, how our perspective is, how we've been blessed by that,
sure,
in a sense. But before we get to there, kind of as we're moving forward, what we're hoping to be able to do.
Yeah, so real quick, I can tell you sort of where we're at. Preschool-wise, we've got classes at 9 a.m., 0 to 48 months. I think in the next couple of weeks, that'll shift to all of preschool. And so just at 9 a.m., we've got classes. There's safety precautions, guidelines set up in those to keep kids safe as we can in those. So those are happening now that you register for online heading into Sundays. As we look ahead, elementary ministry, we're looking to start kindergarten and first grade class at 9 a.m. as well here soon. And so we're really trying to gear up to do that and what that's going to look like and how that'll shape. But outside of that, we've tried to add a couple of events on the calendar this fall. You can find out more about those, harvestmemphis.org/kids. There's an events tab. We're going to do a drive-through breakfast. I think it was Young Life was doing that for high schoolers, which makes more sense because they can drive, but thought it might be fun to do that. And so we'll have that where you can swing by on the way to school maybe and pick up a chicken biscuit, a donut. We'll do that one morning. We're going to do a trunk or treat later this month for all families. And so really trying to figure out ways that we can be engaged with your kids and with you as parents outside of the normal stuff that we do. So we're starting some Wednesday night ministry back as we head in November. We're hoping to continue with Rooted now a little more consistently on Wednesday nights for older elementary kids. But again, you can find out all those events, harvestmemphis.org/kids, and see what we've got ahead this fall.
That's great. And I appreciate you being diligent. And even this whole time since the pandemic started, I know you've been working hard just to try to keep connection. And so I'm just thankful you haven't seen this as a— it'd be easy to see this as kind of like an extended vacation, but you've done the opposite. And I just want to praise you and your team for that.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Last thing, and then we'll close down, is I think Shannon and I have talked about this a little bit, but I think moving forward, while we still will use, it's good for kids to be in Sunday school, make friends, good. But I never would have thought I would have joy from keeping all four of my kids in church service with us. Now, let me underlay that with this. It's not easy. I feel like I just ran a marathon. And by saying that, I mean, hypothetically, if I imagine what it would feel like to run a marathon, because I'll never do it. That's what I think it would feel like. Yeah. Hey, put that down. Quit stand up. Hey, quit talking. Don't bite your brother. Whatever it is that's happening. But then there are other sweet moments when my kids are singing, or they're, my oldest six, he's reading the words, or they stand up when the Bible's being read, and just kind of little small ways to try to teach them some rhythms of worship. I was actually kind of upset about this, but I didn't show it. The last time I don't know when it was, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was preaching from John, and Shannon had, the kids were getting crazy, so she took them in the nursing mother's room, I think, and she always makes a little chart for them for like 3 words to listen for during the sermon. And Gabe comes up to me afterwards and shows me his check mark, and he said, "Daddy, you only said the gospel one time." I just looked at him and said, "Thank you, son. That's a rousing endorsement of that sermon." So anyway, they tune in, I guess I'm saying, more than we think they do. And if you feel uncomfortable or unsafe and you want to utilize the live stream, that's obviously still available. If it's because it's going to be hard and inconvenient, which I totally get, I think, Kevin, my exhortation would be, if it's not a health reason, if it's not a safety reason, if it's not a precautionary reason, if it's simply a matter of convenience or not, what Shan and I have found is, if we push through that a little bit, it's a unique family experience that we don't get otherwise. And I think it's a little bit formative.
Yeah, I completely agree. I recently read an article, actually, that was written, I think it was written back in August, September. So in the midst of all this that we're all dealing with, we're not the only church dealing with this, obviously. An article written on the Gospel Coalition entitled "Prioritize Church Even When There's No Childcare." So prioritize church when there's no childcare. And I read it. And at that point, this was probably 6 weeks ago, me being on staff, obviously, just like Jamie, I've got to work on Sunday morning. So it's a little more difficult maybe for my wife, two kids, but read it and sat down my wife and was like, man, we've got to get the boys back at church. We've got to get you back at church. What it's going to be hard. That's, it's going to mean I've got to maybe work harder during the week to be more prepared for Sunday mornings personally. And so that I have time to sit with my family on Sundays, but read it and was really convicted of, though it's inconvenient, though, like Jamie said, it's a lot of work to get them dressed, to get them in the car, to get, to forget the Bible that they're in the car crying about. So you got to go back in and get it. And you got to get to church. You got to get to your seat. It's not easy when you've got little kids, even when you've got elementary age kids that now for 6 months, maybe you've sat at home, maybe they've eaten while they've watched church on a Sunday morning. And so the convenience factor is there to stay home. But like Jamie said, if convenience is the reason we're staying at home, then I would, like he said, encourage families to get back to corporate worship. And so in that article I read, one of the things it said was that it said, moms and dads, make the effort to gather with your church family for worship, even though it's a struggle with small children, because it's worth it. And so when I read that line of "it's worth it," I really thought, what does that mean? That it's worth our kids being in church. It's worth us as parents being embarrassed when our kid screams because his brother took something from him in church. And so now you feel like people are looking at you. The good thing, honestly, in our current season is there's a lot of kids in the worship service.
That's right.
And so someone's going to have the worst kid. And it's okay if it's you. It might be mine. It might be Jamie's. But like Jamie and I sit near each other. I've heard his kids. He's probably heard mine. Yeah. So it's gonna be someone, and that's okay, because they're gonna learn things. My 4-year-old is obsessed with baptism right now. Like we've done a lot of baptisms, I feel like, cause we got backlogged from COVID. And so we've been baptizing most Sundays and he's like obsessed with it. He gets to church and he's like, are we baptizing today? And I'm like, at the very end. So he's like on the edge of his seat, trying to get through the service so that he can see these baptisms. And it's created good conversations of why we're getting baptized, yeah, what that means, even at 4 years old. And so it is worth the fight to be at church. And so we can fill our schedules with a lot of things. But even once COVID's over, honestly, and we're back normal, maybe whatever that's going to look like, I would say that corporate worship is valuable, that you need to be there as a family. So prioritize that amongst your families. If that means Saturday nights need to look differently for you, if that means Sunday afternoons need to look different from you, whether that's lunches you have planned, whatever it looks like, corporate worship is valuable. And I'm learning that as my boys grow up and as I'm there, I've seen the value in it.
That's good. And I would say, you know, Kevin mentioned if you're worried somebody's looking at you, let me just help you out with that. I am looking at you. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at your kid and I'm sitting there going, I understand. Don't worry about it. Like, I wish I could go up to every parent and say, it is not a big deal. And if it's not your kid, it's going to be mine. And sure, if our kids are losing their mind, maybe take them out so we don't distract. Yeah. But we are six people and we take up 20 seats on Sunday. I mean, I'm amazed at the degree to which they can social distance from me.
It's like one crayon per seat.
Yeah, exactly right. And so I just want to say, I think it's been good because in a culture that views kids as an inconvenience, we've got an opportunity to bring kids into the bigger picture and want them around us in that setting. And so, yeah, we are looking at you. And every parent in there is not looking at you saying, oh my goodness, can you, but they're saying, I got it. No problem. Don't worry about it.
So. I've loved it obviously with my role, I love kids, children's pastor, but I love seeing the kids in the worship service. It's been an encouragement to me to look out and see them. And we mentioned earlier, we have busy bags. There's bags in the back that have crayons,
those are great,
sheets and some wiki sticks. Jamie mentioned there's even a snack in there. And so things to hopefully, over an hour long service, they're going to listen to some songs. They're going to do a little craft. They're going to listen to some more preaching. So throughout that, they're going to be distracted enough through that bag that hopefully they can focus at times on what's being done.
Yeah, those bags make it really manageable. So I'm thankful for them. Kev, that's going to wrap up our time. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the hard work you and your team are doing here at Harvest.
Thanks for having me, Jamie.